really interesting things in here. You're going to see Joshua pass away. You're going to see Joshua give his farewell speech. You're going to see that challenge, choose you this day whom you will serve. And you're going to see also how there's much land still left. God even comes to Joshua and pretty much says, you're well stricken in age. He says, you're old, but there's still a lot of work to be done. And there's a lot of different interesting things in this passage of scriptures. There are some things as I'm looking through and studying things that I've never preached on before because I've never gone through the book of Joshua. So we're kind of taking this step by step together. Tonight's one of those things. I've never preached a message on the cities of refuge. I don't know if you've ever heard a message on the city of refuge before, but tonight's the city's refuge, and it's an interesting study. I encourage you, even maybe whet your appetite a little bit and, you know, learn a little bit more about it, but also encourage you what we have in Jesus Christ and how it's a type of the relationship we have in Jesus Christ. And we're going to learn about what the cities of refuge is. Why? It's number one, it's because God told them to do it, and there was a purpose behind it. But it also shows us a parallel, the refuge we have in Jesus Christ. And the world that we live in today, it's becoming increasingly dangerous. I mean, you think about terrorism, you think about ISIS, you think about drunk driving, you think about all different types of things that is dangerous. So probably one of the most dangerous things in the world is to be a baby in the womb today. You think about all the people that lose their lives before they ever see this world. But, you know, in the day that we live in, we as Christians are taught not to be fearful. We as Christians are told that we have peace. We are Christians, we're told that we can continue on because we believe God's in control. You know, we have this conviction that God is our protector, God is our hiding place, God is our refuge. He is a strong tower that we can run into. Even the Bible talks about these things. In this dangerous world, we can stand fast. In the midst of people being afraid and frightened, we have a place we can go to. Think about what it says in Proverbs. It's in verse 18. I read that today as I try to read a Proverbs today. And the Lord is my rock and my fortress. Excuse me. Proverbs 18 is the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. So as I was studying the city's refuge, I got to Proverbs 18 and said, that's really cool. It kind of goes along. You know, that he is a strong tower and the righteous runneth into it. Another thing I try to do is read a Psalms every day. And every 3 months, it starts back at the beginning. And you know what's in Psalms 18? In Psalms 18, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. So it was kind of neat how God kind of reconfirmed that, you know, even though when you start teaching and preaching about something that maybe isn't as familiar to you and as you're learning things, God kind of re-showed that to me. Hebrews 6:18 is kind of really interesting verse that some of you might recognize. It says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay a hold upon the hope that's set before us. No, that's the confidence that we run to. That's his refuge. It's his salvation. It's the hope we have in him. You know, in the world that we live in, it's craziness many times. It's very dangerous. We don't know what's going to happen with our families. We don't know what the next generation is going to receive. We don't know what two generations or three generations down the road, but we have a hope in Jesus Christ. We have a refuge. He's still God and we can still get to him and he's there for us and he's strength for us. And in Joshua chapter 20, we see the Lord instructing the Israelites to appoint the cities of refuge. And it was done earlier. In Exodus chapter 21, it was done. In Numbers chapter 35, Deuteronomy chapter number 19, these cities of refuge were set up for people that were not guilty of premeditated murder. See, there was back in the book of Exodus, chapter 21, verses 12 through 4, the Bible says, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And that's the capital punishment. You know, that's the way God intended it to be done. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will point thee a place whither that he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. Now, before there was ever the conquering of the lands of Canaan, there was a tabernacle. There was the altar. They could grab a hold of the horns of the altar. And if a person did not kill a person on purpose, if it was by accidents, the Bible says here is that he was not presumptuous. And the fact that if he didn't kill the person, it wasn't premeditated, it was accident. Even either in Deuteronomy or I think it's in the book of Deuteronomy where it talks about it. They're out working with an axe in the forest. person, the axe head kind of fell off and it flew and it hit the other guy. The other guy died. That, you know what? His family member, according to the law, had the right to avenge the blood. But if it was not premeditated, if it was not done on purpose, that man had an ability to go somewhere to be safe. And that's where he's talking about this idea. If he was guilty of premeditated and guilty of a violent murder, he could not find a place of safety. Back before the lands of Canaan was conquered, they would go to that spot and hold on to the horns or the altar. But after the lands of Canaan were there and they were distributed out amongst all those many miles, what God did was set up six different cities that they could go, and it would be a city of refuge. Let's go ahead and just read this, and then we'll try to show you some different things. I'd like to show you talk about five different things here tonight that is just kind of gives you idea what's going on with the cities of refuge. Now, I'd like to look at five different comparisons, but then there's also three differences. So tonight, let's go ahead and just read this, and we'll get started. It says, Joshua chapter number 20, the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, so we see where the commandment's coming from. It's not coming from Joshua. This is not put in the heart of Joshua. It was not put in the heart of Moses. It was God's telling him to do this. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. As we saw in the book of Exodus, there was a place that was promised. You go to Deuteronomy, you go to Numbers, there's this cities of refuge. That the slayer, now the slayer is the man here who actually committed the killing, that killeth any person, now look what it says, unawares and unwittingly, may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. So we see two different people in this passage of Scripture. We see the slayer, the person who has committed the murder or committed the death, and there's a difference between premeditated and manslaughter in a sense in the day and time that we would live in. And you see here that the person did not do it on purpose. He was unaware and unwittingly. And he was a refuge from who? It's the avenger of the blood. Now, the avenger of blood is a family member who had the right under the law to take that man's life. Verse number 4, and when he that doth flee unto one of the cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. So if something happened, it was an accidental death, say you accidentally hit somebody with a car or something like that. I know there was no cars back in the Bible time, but just kind of bear with me there. You see what happens. They would run to the city. They would instruct the city of the elder what happened. It was an accident and that they needed a place of refuge. They needed a place to be safety while the matter was sought out and while the matter was listened to by the elders, and even at some points, the high priest. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand. So the avenger of blood would be a man that on his family had the right and probably the obligation to put the other man to death because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. So if he got to the city first, they were supposed to be a protection. And the avenger of blood, when he came to the city because he saw that he was headed towards that city, he would be turned away. They would not deliver him to the person that was trying to avenge the blood. Verse number 6, and he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment. So they would search out the matter. They would find the truth in the matter to see whether or not he did it innocently or whether or not it was done premeditated. And until the death of the high priest, thou shalt be in those days. And this man would stay in the city of refuge and would be taken care of until the death of the high priest if he found that it was done unaware or done accidentally. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. So at that point in time, when the high priest passes away, then they can go back home. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in the Mount of Naphtali, and Shechem in the Mount Ephraim, and Kiriath-baal, which is in Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. Now, you'll see that three of these cities are on the east, Some are up, one's up north, one's in the middle, one's in the south. The other one's in the west, and on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward, this is the eastward one, they assign Bezrez in the wilderness, the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. And same thing, there's one in the north, one in the middle, one in the south. These cities are all set up in a purpose place so that way anyone could get to them. Verse number 9, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. So it is not just for the Jews. For those that sojourn among them under the same law, but also has the same ability to go to this city of refuge and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. So here in this passage of scripture, I like to look at just some different things to help draw some interesting comparisons and help us remember what we have in Jesus Christ. We have someone we can run to. We have a refuge. We have a strong tower. We have a place of safety. But also to see and hear some of the differences too of how it is different from our relationship to the relationship we have in Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on tonight's message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help me tonight. Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, help us to understand the truths that are found in it. Help us to make some application here tonight. Help us to see the you wanted justice to be done in your word and in your law. And as you wanted justice to be done, you also wanted to make sure the innocent was not going to be penalized without a place of safety. Lord, thankful for how we can go to you. And Lord, we're thankful for the salvation you offer to us. Lord, that we have a refuge. Lord, thankful for the fact that whether we know that we're guilty of sin and we know we're guilty of the things that we've done, but we can still go to you in salvation. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go through these pretty quickly because there's quite a few, but I think you'll get the point as the message goes along. And I pray that you enjoy it. You walk out and say, hey, I learned something new. I never thought of it that way, or just reminded you and you're encouraging in your walk with the Lord. First thing I want you to think about is five important features of these six cities. Five important features of these six cities. You'll find it here. You'll find it in Deuteronomy. You'll find it in Numbers. And you'll also find some and some biblical information that talked about how the priests did things. The first feature I want you to see is that they were located strategically located. And that's important to see. And I mentioned it. They had access to anyone that was seeking refuge. It was anyone. They had provided a way. And I even talked about how the priests had the responsibility of keeping the highways clear, how the surfaces needed to be smoothed out and the rocks were cleared, and even that bridges needed to be built. They made sure that they were strategically located and that they had access to every person that wanted help. They had the ability to get there. Second thing I want you to see as a feature was the gates of the cities of the refuge were never locked. They were never locked. It wasn't like the fact that the guy got there and he said, I had to be there before midnight, because if I didn't get there before midnight, you know what? They're going to lock the gates up and the avenger of the blood might be able to get me. That wasn't the case. They were never locked. And they were there and available, and the elders were available. Imagine if someone had to run 30 or 40 miles to get to the city, and when they got there, they couldn't get in. The gates were always open. The third thing I want you to see is that they were well-stocked to provide for any of the fugitives who came and stayed, even for years. That in this time period, in this city of refuge, they actually gave them the things that they needed, whether it was food or raiment and things like that, because when they're running, obviously they're not going to take a lot of things with them. The fourth thing I want you to see, it comes from the fact that if you go to Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, if you didn't get there before the avenger of blood got you, you know what happened? You were killed. You had to get there. If you didn't get there, and they even talked about some different spots with Abner and Joab, how they were outside, the one was outside the city and they weren't where they needed to be, and they ended up killing the one, killed the one. If it doesn't matter if you're on your way, you had to get there. And the fifth thing I want you to see here, and we went through these pretty quickly because I liked comparisons better. Fifth thing is, it was available to anyone. It was available to, it didn't matter if you were a Jew or if you were a Gentile sojourning there. It didn't matter if you were a man or a woman. It was available to anyone. So we see those five features, and we're seeing this city of refuge, that it was there, it was put there as a protection. It was there to help protect the innocent, that someone died on their watch or someone died by an accident, that they had the ability to be safe. So what is a relevance to this today? You might be saying, Pastor, why in the world are you talking about this? Well, number one, it's in the Bible. Number two, it's a powerful picture of Jesus Christ is our city of refuge. He is our city of refuge. God had made a practical provision here in the book of the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, to show us an understanding of what we have in Jesus Christ. Remember, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You know, same thing, that they are running into the city and they were safe. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I put my trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. It is a place. And the similarities of the refuge that they found these cities and our personal relationship with Jesus Christ is really cool. Think about the first one. You think about the strategically located place, the access that was available. And I think about the access we have available of Jesus Christ. He's accessible to us. I don't know about you, but I think that's great. You know, that Jesus Christ is accessible to us. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And not only is he accessible, you think about it, Jesus Christ says what? He tells you to come. He says, come unto me. He even says, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this city of refuge, it was accessible. It was placed there to everyone could get it. Not one person up north didn't have to travel farther. It was a place that was accessible. Even in Revelation 22, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. This is one of the major messages that we can give to our friends and neighbors. This is the message. Jesus Christ says, come. He wants you to come unto him. He died for you. There is a place of refuge amongst all the struggling, amongst all the torture, amongst all the wickedness in the world and the dangerousness of the world and the terrifying world that we live in. We have a refuge. We have a place that we can go, and it's accessible to anyone. The second thing I want you to think about is the similarity of how the city of refuge provided the gates that were not locked. And I like the picture there that goes with Jesus Christ, because sometimes people think you just got to figure out how to get to him. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. You know, sometimes they have these religious things and religious locks. You got to do this, pay this penance, or do this or do that to gain God's approval and get... No. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If a man believeth in heart and confesseth of his mouth, it's salvation is through that. There isn't some type of mysterious ritual to a relationship with Jesus Christ. The doors are open for those that would come. Come to him at any time, and he's not going to cast you out. The third thing I want you to think about is the physical resources that were provided. You think about how Jesus Christ is sufficient. He is sufficient for us. He's sufficient for our need. Through his death, he not only paid our price for our redemption, but he also took care of our salvation. Our eternity is secure. But even in the world that we live in today, he sustains us. He gives us what he needs. In him, we have the resources to live. We have the resources to triumph. We have the resources to be victorious. And when this whole book is about being victorious and the victorious Christian walk that we're in, we have a place that we can go to. And the reason why we can be victorious is because of the refuge we find in Jesus Christ. The fourth thing I want you to see here is a place of protection from the avenger. A place of protection. We talked about how if you didn't get there, guess there's only one protection. This was the only place they could go and be saved. And the same thing when it comes to Jesus Christ. There's only one place that we can go for salvation. There is no other name. And there you can be sincere as you want to be. But if you're not going to Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. You know, I think there's many people who are sincerely believing in their Mormon faith or their Islam faith or their Buddhist faith. I think there's many people who are sincere in their beliefs, but I believe they're sincerely wrong. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the place of refuge, there is only one place that could save them from the avenger, and that was the city of refuge. And there is only one place where a person can find salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. And last but not least, when it comes to the similarities, it's open to everybody. Just like many people had thought back in that nation of Israel back then, that, you know, those Gentiles that were sojourning among them wouldn't have the same rights and privileges. But when it came to the city of refuge, God wanted justice to be done. He wanted fair treatment. If that Gentile had accidentally slayed a Jew, can you imagine? The Jewish brethren probably would have got upset and says, he needs to die. According to the law, he needs to go. But this man had refuge. And it's the same thing for us today. There's a similarity that we have in Jesus Christ, because the Bible says in Romans 10, 12, and 13, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there is some features here that we can see. This city of refuge was a place that people could go to when there was a need. It was a place where God would keep them protective. The last thing I want you to see, not only is the features, but I also want you to see the comparisons. But last but not least, I want you to see the differences. You know what? What we have in Jesus Christ is much better than any city of refuge. Any city of refuge. And it was strategically located. The gates were not locked. They took care of them. You know, it was a guaranteed safety. But what we have in Jesus Christ is different. Number one, it's different because of the between the city of refuge and Jesus Christ was that only the innocent were protected. Only the innocent were protected in the city of refuge. He said, what are you getting? Well, say if I murder somebody, I premeditated and I ran to the city, I might be able to convince the elders it was an accident. But when they went to search it out and found out that I was laying in wait and that they were my enemy before, if you listen to the Bible language in the other chapters, you know what happened? They would actually take me to the avenger of blood and he would kill them. But the amazing thing about what we have in Jesus Christ, we are all guilty. We are all sinners. None of us, I know what you're saying. I know that the sin has been passed down to all men and that we sinned because of the nature, but we also sin now because of our right. We have a choice to choose and we still sin. We're guilty in both sides, but even though we are guilty, we can go to Jesus Christ and he'll still save us. There's a difference there. At the city of refuge, it's only for those that were innocent. Only for those that it was accident. But here with Jesus Christ, we committed those crimes. We many times have premeditated. We are rebellious sinners. But this place of refuge is for all sinners, no matter how guilty. He will take our punishment. He died for our sins on that cross, and he paid our price for us. And that's the difference between that great city of refuge that was there for justice, but God performed his own justice when Jesus Christ died on that cross. When he paid his sin, Jesus took that penalty for us. Next thing I want you to think about and the difference between the cities was a city of refuge and the work of Jesus Christ is that no matter how close someone lived to the city of refuge, there was always a chance that the avenger might be faster. There was always a chance that, imagine maybe it was an older person that it happened to and the avenger is a younger person, even though they might get close to it, if they didn't get there, guess what? The avenger could take their life and had the right to it. And even if you read some parts, obligated to do that. But the cool thing is with Jesus Christ, you have a guarantee. You don't have to be running and hoping to get there. The avenger might be quicker, but with Jesus Christ, he guarantees us that as we look to Jesus, we will find refuge. The Bible says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That means that whoever comes unto him, whoever believes in him, will receive the protection that Jesus Christ has to offer. And another big difference is, and I think this is probably my favorite, here they had to go seeking the city. With Jesus, he went seeking us. You think about it, the city, they had to run to the city, they had to go to refuge. But Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came looking for us. In Christ, the picture shows the doors of the city of the refuge. You have to get there. You have to go seeking for it. You have to find it. Yes, the pathways were marked fine, and the signs is another comparison of how to get to the city. And some even say back in Bible times there were signs that said refuge and pointed them in the right directions. But you know what? We have signs that are pointing to Christ, but Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. It was his whole purpose for here. And it's the Spirit that draws us. It's God is interested in us taking part in his salvation. So when you think about this city of refuge, and you look at this, it was strategically placed. It was a place where you could always go into. There was not locked up. It wasn't like at midnight, the doors are shut and you couldn't get any more. They would provide for you. They would take care of you. It was open to anyone. And if you got there in time, you were guaranteed safety until you were proven innocent or guilty. And these are some great comparisons, but I like the differences. What we have in Jesus Christ is a lot more valuable than a city of refuge. That city of refuge was something that was special. That city of refuge was set apart. God made plans for it in Exodus with Moses. He talked about it in Leviticus. He talked about it in Deuteronomy. It was important to be done. But now we see what we have in Jesus Christ. In the day and time that we live in, I pray that you've taken part, that you've tasted of that salvation that God offers. It is offered to any who will come to him, because he says in no wise will he cast out. And it's also offered to sinners, which we are all sinners, and that we all need to receive him. Say, Pastor, it's a Wednesday night. Probably every person here knows Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, then cherish what you have. You can go to him when you have a need, when you have a problem. The gates are never locked. You can get to him. You have access to him. He has set it up to where you can get to him. And no matter how great a sinner you are, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Praise the Lord for that. And he is looking, he is seeking for those who will call upon him. Tonight I want to encourage you with the city refuge, and maybe it will whet your appetite to go home and study a little bit more and understand it a little bit better. But in this passage of scripture, and in the book of Joshua, we talk about having this great spiritual walk and the victories that God has promised us. But even in the victories, there's going to be scary times, there's going to be frightening times, there's going to be times when we don't know what to do next. And that's when the Bible says we run to him. He is our strong tower. He is our hope. He is what we count on when everything else is going wrong, when everything else is going bad. He is the place that I can go to and I can reside in and I can abide in and I can find comfort, I can find hope, and I can find peace in Jesus Christ. He is my city of refuge. He is my strong tower. I pray those things mean something special to you tonight. You look in the book of Joshua, you see this cool city of refuge. But we have so much more in Jesus Christ. You might be, well, it'd be kind of cool if we had a city of refuge today. We do. And it's in Jesus Christ. Now, we're not talking about the illegal aliens and all those other things, people coming over. We're talking about what we have in Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation tonight.